That umpire was horrendous, and you never hear me complain about that. But that's not necessarily why the Yankees lost. Painful loss. Listen, here's the thing for me, though, Sal. It's really been about these 12. It's been about the next 12 games, two of which have already happened here, three with Houston, three with Toronto, obviously the Tigers, and three with the Red Sox. Like, the Yankee fan will not feel good, like completely sold on this team, unless they get 9-3 or 8-4 or even better than that over the next 12 games. But, see, I don't have the same mindset as most Yankee fans pertaining to this team. The Yankees can lose no more games the rest of the way against these very good teams that they'll see in the playoffs here and go 11-1 in totality, and I still don't know what to expect. Because think about this. We've talked about how much the game has changed and the elements of the Yankees that we really believe in and like and the elements that we don't really fully trust. So I get it. Like, last night stunk because it felt like a playoff game. It's the Astros. They're playing better baseball.
Yeah, they were in control.
They had a lead. They flushed it down the chute. I don't like Aaron Boone pulling Will Warren. He had 70 pitches. What are you doing? So I did not like that. I would criticize Aaron with that. And there were a lot of things to unpack. We'll certainly do that here. But I just think that big picture, it doesn't matter. Honestly, let me take that. It doesn't matter that I don't mean it doesn't matter that they didn't win. But the Yankees, really like everybody, will be defined what happens in October.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
The issue that I would have is that, like I said, the feel was, hey, Yankees going to take the first two here in Houston. They mean business. Things are different now versus last time versus good teams, whatever it may be. And in my mind, I'm starting to think forward to, oh, here we go, Yankees, Blue Jays, Yankees, Red Sox, like, this is what it's about. The Yankees are going to show us something different here. Now, their loss last night does not take away the fact that they still could be the best team in the American League. They still could get to a World Series. Their offense is still elite. So there are still a lot of pieces in place. However, it was a harsh reminder that when a lot of us started to let our mind go to, holy cow, you start to get excited about the Yankees and thinking this could be different. This could be, maybe they're better than I thought they were going to be. Look at this. We're going to take the first two from the Astros. Just when you really, truly started to believe. Because even after the first win, there was still maybe some doubt. You really started to believe. And then that happens last night and they completely fall apart. And it was a litany of things. Whether it's Stanton in left field, he can't be out there. Like, those things, they try to minimize that. They all add up. A pass ball leading to a run.
Wells has to keep that in front of him.
Yeah,
has to.
Like, and he doesn't because
the balk. I don't think that was a balk.
No,
I really don't.
Now, I will say this, too. And you and I are consistent about this. I don't make excuses with the umpire. He clearly had an issue with the Yankees.
Yes, he did.
Like,
yes, he did.
It was over the top. He screwed Devin Williams. Williams has been bad this year. We know that. He's also had some bad luck. Last night, he got screwed. Now, I thought that Boone should have got him out of the game earlier. He rode with Williams, and then you thought maybe there was a point where he was going to get out of it. The ump didn't do him any favors, but I would have pulled Williams sooner if I were Aaron Boone, so that was an issue. But the ump was horrible last night. Point is, there are a lot of things to break down from last night. Big picture, still shouldn't be alarming concerns with the Yankees because we know what they are. But just when you thought maybe it's going to be different, a lot of those issues reared their ugly head.
They did, and that's why the Yankees are an imperfect team like everybody else in baseball. I still feel good about the Yankees. I haven't felt great about the Yankees all year. Maybe at the beginning of the year I felt better than I did at various points, but I don't think anybody heard me say once this year that I think the Yanks are going to win the World Series. Hell, I was talking in March. I wasn't even sure if the Yanks were going to win the division.
Right.
I've said that a million times here. So
it still might not. I mean, no, I know.
I mean, they might. They might not. They're going to be in the playoffs. And obviously, if Judge hits and Stanton, and you get the horses up front with Fried and Schlittler, you know, and the bullpen does its job, the Yankees could very well win a couple of playoff series and maybe get back to the World Series. But, you know, the umpiring, this is a problem here. The umpires, they think that they are the story. Nobody comes to see you. Just honestly, just be invisible. Do your job. And the way, now, I don't mean that they should just sit there and take it if Aaron Boone or anybody is dropping F-bombs in their face, spitting on them.
Boone got out of control and so did Jazz. But
I didn't think Jazz was out of control. First of all, Jazz was right. Yeah. That ball's absolutely off the plate.
I'm not saying they're wrong. I thought they both were out of control.
I don't think so. Now, Boone went from 0 to 90 quick in terms of what we saw verbally, but there were the incremental buildup on all of the calls that this dope behind home plate missed. It just set him off here. So, again, you'd rather not get tossed for the seventh time, but I'd rather go down swinging. So I had no issue with that. I thought that Boone, you know, really, he was pissed.
Man.
You could tell he was angry. And he had a right to be, is what I'm saying. That umpire was awful.
I want to be clear. They were in the right. Jazz, Aaron Boone, Williams were in the right. I do think Boone went a little over the top out of control, and that sets a bad example for Jazz, who then he feels like he could get out of control. We've seen this a couple of times, and I thought it was just over the top. They were both right, understood. Mm-hmm. I thought the ump was screwing the Yankees. Like, my initial thought was, and I know a lot of people, you know, the conspiracy theorists, oh, this guy's on the take. Like,
this guy's on the take?
Yeah, I swear that's what I'm thinking.
Well, like, there were pictures going around this morning or last night with him and his buddy. They're wearing Red Sox shirts.
Well,
the guy's a Red Sox fan.
I don't think that
100% factored in last night.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
I'm with you. I believe that his Red Sox fandom, as tempered as it may be now, as he's got a professional. If you have a call that you think is borderline.
Of course. It's an inherent bias. It's like me. It's like having a picture with me and my buddy tailgating for the Jets Patriots, and then I'm an official.
Right.
I'm the lines judge, and the Jets are playing the Patriots.
Right. You're on
what do you think I'm
going to
do?
The Patriots and all
it still wouldn't matter. Jets would still lose.
I still think they were a little bit over the top, out of control. However, I think it was justified. Yanks got screwed. It's not why they lost the game.
Yep.
Certainly didn't help.
Okay, now here's the thing, too. Like, just to finish the thought about the umpires and this complexion that they have, not even the guy from last night who was awful. We all know that, right? And we could agree to disagree. Boone too much, Jazz, whatever. Yeah. The umps missed the calls, and I have no problem firing back, right. But I hear what you're saying. It's the problem with today's umpires, and you see this in officials in the NBA as well, they have been, like, for whatever reason, maybe because they know they're going to be on TV and they're going to get a million clicks on social media, so they don't want to look like they're getting punked and they're allowing people to push them around. But these guys come out way too aggressive and way too, almost like proactively searching for conflict. And they said it last night when I could actually hear the game on Amazon. And I know Marash was dealing with this. I'm saying to myself, what the hell's wrong with the Wi-Fi in my house? I have no issues with the Wi-Fi. I can't wait to watch this game. You know, Stanton hits a moonshot. Wells goes two-run bomb the other way. Will Warren was pitching very well. And all night, it's cutting out. I felt like I was trying to email somebody from 1999 on AOL. It was just horrendous. So the coverage and the ability to watch the game really frustrated me, really. But when you see these umpires, Sal, you could just tell, like, they rip off their mask and they're looking. Dude, just get behind the catcher. Just let the manager chirp a little bit. If it gets out of hand, give them the thumb. But these guys look for problems, and it's a problem.
Which I would think they wouldn't, because they're going to be embarrassed. Most of the time, they're in the wrong. When we could see everything, and players and umps, players and managers can also see the replay stuff, whatever it may be, you see the square, or they're being told, like, that pitch was in the zone, what are you doing? The umps eventually are made to look like fools. Like, that guy last night, he's got to be mortified.
He's
got to be going to bed sick to him. Yeah, like, his job should be in jeopardy. That's how bad he was.
How many blown calls he had? Because I actually had the number for you.
What was it, like 21?
21.
And 15 were against the Yanks?
There were 21 calls that were deemed by whomever does this, right? That they were the incorrect call. 15, you're right, of the 21 went against the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean,
imagine that's a playoff game last night.
And then they're going to be
imagine that?
And like you said, pictures floating around with him and the Red Sox. Yeah. Like, I think he's going to be some kind of... These guys do get reprimanded, right? When they're not...
Well, they get graded every single night. And then obviously it impacts and affects what postseason responsibilities you have. Like, if you're lowly graded, if you will, you're not going out there for the league championship series. So this guy hopefully is relegated to, you know, the White Sox and the Twins here of September, not the Yankees and the Jays or whatever.
And the issue with him last night, like, all umpires are going to have certain issues. Like, nobody's perfect, especially nowadays where we can see all the replays. We see the strike zone box. So it's magnified now how bad that they are, how many times that they miss. The problem with last night's guy is he was inconsistent. He can't call the game one way for 6-7 innings and then all of a sudden change it up. Like, that's absurd. That's why I'd have a big issue if I were Boone Williams or even Jazz Chisholm on that last at-bat there. So that, to me, would be like, hey, dude, why'd you change? You were calling the pitch a strike the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
Why'd you change? That's what they were talking about on the broadcast.
That's an outstanding point. And I heard part of that when my TV wasn't flickering. And you're right. And it's the same thing in the NBA. NBA. If you're going to let them get after it and, you know, set hard screens and foul and swallow the whistle, and all of a sudden, you know, you got a little ticky-tack fouls here and there, you're like, what are you doing? Like, this is not the tone that was established here. So everybody, listen, they're not robots yet. We'll soon have the automation. So they're human beings, and there is an inherent flaw because we're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes here. But it's unacceptable to establish, you know, one strike zone in the middle of early for the first 70% of the game and then just blatantly, radically flip it because now you confuse players and that's the last thing you can have.
All right, so before we get to the phones, what would be your, because there's a lot there obviously from last night's game. What would be your one concern that you saw last night?
Yeah, I already have it.
Long term.
Devin Williams, the first at bat annoyed the hell out of me. Change up, change up, change up. Fourth pitch. I mean, do you think Correa is saying he's going to probably throw me a fastball at some point? Which he does, which Correa lasers to right field, sets the entire tone. And I understand there were a lot of pitches, especially up in the zone and in to lefties, that were strikes that were not called strikes. But there's just something about him that spooks me. He doesn't elicit any sort of confidence in me. I didn't love it. Hoffman was a changeup guy, and I know his changeup's better than Hoffman's, but if your primary pitch is a changeup in October, that always worries me, because if you're getting squeezed a little bit, or, you know, the umpire's not good, or you don't have the feel for the changeup, even though he throws 95, it's flat, and it's not effective, it's not real gas. So if his changeup's not on, Devin Williams is going to get rocked. And the other thing that Devin Williams has yet to really prove to us, which, and the onus is on him, not us, it's on him, he has not proven, at least to me, that when things go awry, in a big spot, he is able to buckle down and get the big outs. He worries me more than Judge hitting in October, the Yankees starters, even Volpe at shortstops, certain elements of the Yankees defense. It's Devin Williams.
Yeah, see, for me, there are two issues, the bullpen or the defense. Now, I'm not going to focus on Williams. What about Luke Weaver? What about Doval? Like,
Doval, to me, is not going to be in there in a fourth, okay, you know, but 5-4 game.
But you could also, remove Williams from that situation.
Yeah,
so, like, to me, that's not the biggest issue. And I could be wrong here. I just can't deal with the sloppiness. Now, there is a counter to it. Well, Stanton's not going to be in left field in the postseason. But they do have to get Judge back healthy. Like, he still hasn't come back yet. We thought he was going to come back weeks ago. He's coming back in St. Louis, coming back into the Red Sox. Still not back yet. Now, once he comes back, then you should be able to have an outfield with Bellinger, Grisham, Judge. You would think that that should eliminate some of the problems. I'm not so sure about Volpe. I'm not so sure about Jazz in a big spot, and certainly not catching. Like, that is a major issue that just gets overlooked. Wells misplayed that ball, but he's being taught to catch the way he is. Ben Rice, same thing. In a big spot in the postseason, the Yankees' little things, they add up.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's enough margin for error. So those would be my two concerns. My primary concern, you know, the bullpen overall and the sloppiness that the Yankees play with consistently. And I think that would be the number one issue for me come playoff time.
I can point out what worries me. You just did the same thing here. I think the bottom line is that there are debatable points, and there are multiple things. Even though the Yankees have a tough, like, let's not bury the lead completely. Yanks have been playing very well.
Yeah.
But these are the times of measurement. The Astros, Toronto, the Tigers, the Red Sox, teams the Yankees have not played well against. They've beaten up bad teams, and they thumped them big. So they put themselves in a position to be a playoff team, which they will be. But there are several things that people can latch onto and say, this worries me. And when you have more than one of those things, it's fair to wonder, you know, can this team win a World Series, which is what I've asked all year. And every time I ask the question, my answer is no. That's what I've always said. Hopefully I'm wrong. October magic, you never know. But they got some flaws. We know it.
BT and Sal and the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Eric is in Rivervale, New Jersey. What's up, Eric?
BT, Sal. Morning, gents.
What's up?
What's up, buddy?
Oh, man, I have so much you guys covered there. That is, I mean, it's like you were in my brain. That's exactly what I was thinking. I don't think I've been more frustrated watching a baseball game than I was watching that Yankees game last night. And I tried very hard not to get necessarily emotional, but last night I wanted to break my television. It was so frustrating for a million different reasons, but and probably the biggest was the ump, which I never necessarily want to hang my hat on the fact that the ump was absolutely horrendous. I mean, I never want to feel that way, but last night it was a joke. And Sal, you hit it. The inconsistency is the problem. I mean, it was completely different the first six innings from the last three. It was absolutely a joke. But, you know, for me, to like overall with these Yankees, the biggest concern I have is the bullpen. I mean, it is Devin Williams. Like, I thought we had potentially ironed that out in putting him in places that were not high leverage. Last night, he could not throw anything other than a changeup. And you know, like, I know it sitting on my couch that if he's throwing three, four changeups in a row, he doesn't have it. So, of course, the other guys know that. And, of course, they're going to hit lasers. As soon as he throws that fastball, it's over. And then you've got to go to Duvall. And then the problem with Duvall is that he can't throw a strike. And then the balk call was absolutely a joke. Yeah. Like, I mean, the fact that we walked in a run and then we give up another run on a balk, I mean, it was the most quirky game. And then I agree with you, BT, the experience in and of itself, like whatever it is with their streaming service, is also a joke. So, like, all of those things were just
night,
like, yeah. It was a rough night, man. Yeah. It really, really was.
Yeah.
And I think if we could sort out that bullpen, I don't know what the answer is. I mean, Devin Williams and Duvall are a problem. And I don't know what those middle inning relievers are going to be for
even,
us.
Even Weaver. Even Weaver, Eric, and thank you for the call. I'm not saying Weaver's a problem. He's not lights out the way that he was at his peak last year. And maybe a little bit of the bloom fell off the rose in the postseason when he got hit hard a little bit. I'm not. This year he has been hit hard.
He's not Mo. Let's put it that way. I mean, understood. The guy's fallible, and you got to worry a little bit with Luke Weaver and hope that he's on.
Right, but if he's not on, then they're in big trouble because if you can't count on Duvall,
I know,
and you can't count on Williams, you can't have just one guy with Bednar, and even he's not Mo.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
No, I hear you.
So they're not even Diaz, honestly. Like, even with Diaz, who's had his own faults at least this year. Now, again, in a big spot, who knows? All it takes is one blown save, and it could derail the entire season like it did with Williams a year ago with Milwaukee. But the Yankees, they do have a bullpen problem right now.
They do. I'm going to say this, though, and which the first 17, 18 minutes has been littered and laced with complaints and anger and a lot of things. Last night was rough. Honestly, I agree with Eric. Like, I don't really get that worked up over a regular season baseball game, but I'm with you guys. I was pissed, man, for all the reasons I said, including the inability to watch the game without interruptions. But here's the one thing that, you know, I don't know if you have complete confidence, but you've got to have some. Would it surprise anybody if the Yankees come back and look good today and take 2 out of 3?
No, I think they're,
you know what I mean?
Their offense has been terrific. I mean, that's the thing. And then the other question, and maybe this is the biggest question of all, is the offense going to be able to do what they do in the regular season and the postseason? That's been the question with the Yankees forever. So, yeah, nobody's going to be surprised if they win tonight or beat the Blue Jays. I told you. I mean, even when they were at their worst, I still believe the Yankees are going to win the division. It's not surprising to me when they have success. It's also not, like, I think we know what the Yankees are. They are a team that can bludgeon you to death with their bats, a bully team that does very well against bad teams and can have success against good teams, but also is a team that is sloppy and inconsistent at times. They don't have a great bullpen. The starting pitching can be inconsistent at times, and the defense
could also be dominant, though. Yeah. I mean, sometimes starting pitching is really good.
But that's inconsistent.
The two guys might win 20 games. Yeah. Between Freeman and Rodon. It was filthy.
You were more worried about Max Fried than I was.
Well, because
Rodon, take him out. He is the epitome of inconsistency.
I'm not saying to give him the ball to Rodon game one, right. But I mean, Rodon is a guy who's going to give you quality innings. Dude, his numbers are actually filthy. I don't trust him. I've always said that. You know, it's about like a playoff spot, but I'm not even worried about the starting staff. Right. I mean, I needed to see Max Fried get back and stabilize things. Right. He had three great starts. Yeah. He was getting rocked for a while, so I was just reacting to what he was showing me. It wasn't like a lack of trust. It was, what are you doing? Why have these last 15 starts stunk after you looked like, you know, Ron Guidry for the first month or so? Point is, I think the Yankees starters will be really good. I do, because Schlittler's going to start a playoff game. It's the bullpen, and depending upon how they configure the defense, it's still a little shaky.
And I think we're going to learn more about the Yankees, not tonight against the Astros. I think it's going to be against the Blue Jays once and for all. They've struggled against the Blue Jays. They struggled against the AL East and the Red Sox, too. That's going to be the... Yeah. All right, what are we made of here? What are we looking at with this Yankee team? Because I think they're better than the Blue Jays.
You've said that for a while, but I haven't agreed. Right. I can see them actually finishing better and maybe ultimately being better, but I haven't come to that. I haven't come to that conclusion yet.
And
I haven't.
If they get beat by the Blue Jays and Red Sox again, that to me would hurt my confidence going into the postseason, regardless of where they finish the regular season. We have Anthony Becht coming up at 11 o'clock. He does the Jets, so we'll have some fun talking some Jets with him. We have Ian Eagle coming up at 11:40, one of my all-time favorite people and favorite broadcasters. He's on the Jets game this weekend as well with his new partner, J.J. Watt. So we'll have some fun talking to Ian a little bit later on next hour as well. There is some Mets news, BT, that I wanted to get to. Andy Martino of SNY reporting. Now, he says Brandon Sproto is in, quote, strong consideration for a start with the Mets. That's what he's saying there. I'm going to use my term and say that Brandon Sproto's going to start. It's just a matter of when. I mean, he wouldn't say that if it weren't a real possibility.
Yeah, I would agree.
Now, the reason maybe why he's hesitant to say he is going to start is because the Mets haven't definitively named a starter for Sunday. Mm-hmm. We know about Peterson Friday, yep. Tong on Saturday. Andy writes that it's possible that Nolan McClain starts on Sunday, with Manaea opening the series against the Phillies on Monday. But a Sproat promotion could lead things to be flipped around a little bit. Now, remember, Kodai Senga also factors in here, too. Andy writes, the team's waiting to see if Senga is going to accept the temporary assignment to the minor leagues. So now, with all that being said, mm-hmm. I believe Senga is going to be jettisoned to the minors. He better. They're going to start Sproat on Sunday and then push McClain and Manaea against the Phillies. That's the way that I would do it. That's, I think, what they should do.
That's probably what they want to do. Yeah, you just have to wait for the legality because, unfortunately, legality is not probably the right word, but the consent by Senga to go to the minors. And if he doesn't, that's a horrendous look here. So I know there's pride, and the last thing Senga wants to do is go down to the minors and tweak stuff and work on stuff in the middle of a pennant race here, but you've got to do what you've got to do for the betterment of the team here. I would be stunned if he resists it and does not consent and go down, which would open up the door for, as you laid out, probably, I think it would be, you said Sproat Sunday, and then McClain on Monday.
Yeah, and the reason I say that is because do the math. Now, Hoff, maybe you could help me out with this.
What about Manaea, though?
Well, they would push him back against the Phillies as well.
Like into Tuesday?
Yes.
Okay.
Because the other way, why would you have McClain start Sunday, and you got a four-game series with the Phillies coming up? Like, and I'm not saying you got to go chase the division, but... Mm-hmm. If I want McClain to pitch, I want to pitch against the Phillies, mm-hmm. not against the Reds. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. The Reds are all but done.
Oh, forget about the Reds. It's the Giants now that you guys got to keep an eye on.
That's exactly
Giants
right. Giants are hot. All of a sudden, they're hot 4 games back. When was McClain's last start here? When was it, BT?
He went 3 days ago. I feel like it was 3 days ago.
I'm forgetting.
It's all the Detroit game on Monday.
On Monday, Labor Day. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So it would be his normal day on Sunday to pitch. Mm-hmm. So then in that factor, but then now you're going to call up. Let's just say that they do have McClain pitch his normal day Sunday.
Yep.
You're going to have Sproat come up against the Phillies. Like, I would not do that.
Think about where they threw McClain out. They threw him against the Braves down in Atlanta. They threw him early on against the Phillies.
Hoff screwed that up right there. Tuesday.
I did, yes.
That's okay. So that does change things. Because I didn't think that was right, McClain on his normal day. Then it wouldn't be a conversation. So if McClain pitched Tuesday, right, Hoff? Tuesday night.
Then
Tuesday.
Sunday would be regular rest.
No.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, fifth day would be Sunday. If he pitched Tuesday.
It would be regular rest. Now I screwed up. So now
here's what we know. You don't want to see Senga, and you really don't want to see Manaea.
Yeah, so Sunday would be the normal
day. That up.
I would push, push McClain back against the Phillies.
To face the Phillies.
And Manaea, give him even extra rest, push him back against the Phillies.
Okay.
And then I would bring up Sproat to have him make the start on Sunday.
Against the Reds.
In Senga's spot. But wasn't Sunday Senga's spot? That's why I'm confused with this whole thing. So where are we getting on normal rest? They were going with the 6-man rotation. Maybe that's
they
part
were
of the
kicking
issue
that around as well. I mean, listen, we don't have great clarities. That's why it's a little confusing.
Yeah.
We could sit here and speculate. This guy might throw here, and this guy's up for that day, and maybe you push back Manaea.
Was it Manaea who pitched Monday then?
Until Senga tells the Mets, "I'm good going to the minors," then these are just plans that could be thrown into the incinerator fast.
Either way, the report is basically that Sproat is.
Yeah, he's going to join the party.
Yeah, at some point. And once he does, then it becomes eligible for the postseason as well.
There you go.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Back to the Yankees. Vinny is calling from Long Island. What's up, Vinny?
Vin.
What's going on, boys? Good to talk to you.
How are you, Vin?
Thanks, pal.
Good. So real quick, before I get to my couple of points, did I hear you guys mention that the umpire last night is a Boston Red Sox fan?
Well, unless he just has a Red Sox shirt and he just walks into bars and puts his arm around guys in Red Sox jerseys, then yeah, he's a Red Sox fan because we all saw the picture floating around.
If that's the case, that can't happen. Major League Baseball has to figure out a way to make sure if you have a fandom, you're not either umpiring in that league or at least in that type of series. That's point number one. Point number two, the umpiring was atrocious last night, and that pitch to Jazz at the end of the night was a disgrace.
Yep.
But you know what? I definitely, a couple of points. I agree with you. It's the bullpen is very unnerving right now, and it's disappointing because this has been one of the strengths of the Yankees, and it's been a strength of Cashman over the years. I don't blame Cashman for this bullpen totally because everybody was amped about getting Williams. Everybody was amped about getting these guys in the bullpen during the trade deadline. So these guys just are not doing their job, and that's a scary thing. In regards to the teams that they're playing right now, I got to see them go 8-4. Not necessarily because of their psychological makeup on that, but just to kind of let the teams that they're playing know, we're going to see you in the playoffs, guys. And you're not gonna own our ass.
Vin, listen, I love it. I really do. I don't agree. And thanks for the call there, Vinny. And I didn't do this in the opening segment here. I'm not gonna attach an absolute value that will be nice to win every game there and go 11-1 in the 12 games against all these teams. It's not gonna happen. I mean, you know, are they gonna be 7-5? Yeah, okay, and if they're 7-5 and they lose a couple of very ugly games, is that offset by a couple of very impressive wins? I don't know. Like, we're trying to grade the aesthetics, right, of what these 12 games, you know, really to find an identity for the Yankees, but I don't know that we will. And I say that because let's say these 12 games don't go incredibly well. Well, guess what could change everything on a dime? Game one, wild card, right. Game one, DS, whatever. Schlittler takes the ball, throws a gem, 7 innings, no runs, Yanks up one zip, everything changes. And I'm not trying to talk around their issues. They've got issues. We know that. We've talked about it all year. I'm just not as hung up as Vinny, and I'm sure as some others, as having to win 9-12, 10-12. Let's see. Tonight.
They're getting in the playoffs regardless, so it doesn't matter. I do think it's a good test to see. You know, Boone has said it himself, we're a different team right now than we were when we faced Toronto or Boston last.
Which is true, because McMahon's at third base, and they hit a lot of ground balls there.
Well, not just that, but also getting healthier, having Giancarlo Stanton be a big part of the lineup, having Stanton and Judge potentially in the lineup at the same time. Yankees play much better baseball.
No question, but Toronto had a lot of soft singles that, and they, like, at third base, like, McMahon is a rock star fielding. He really, that changes a lot. So, but keep going.
Yeah, well, no. So they were a different team. I want to see how they play against Toronto this time, because if they get beat this time, then it's like, well, now what? Now, does that mean that they definitively couldn't beat Toronto in the postseason? Absolutely not. But I am curious to see. For me, it's the one last measuring stick left in the regular season. If they lose the series, if they win the series, it's not really going to change my opinion big picture. Mm-hmm. But I do want to see what this team's made of, how they play against two teams in Toronto and Boston who have dominated them this regular season.
Understood. You know, I do get it. And the Red Sox, that's where it started, up in Fenway.
Yeah, going back June 13th, that weekend.
Yeah. Look at them, those the exact date.
Well, because it's both the Mets and the Yankees. That's how I know. It's remarkable that both those teams, they've been mirroring each other. Even now, the Yankees back up, the Mets back up.
Yeah, like, and we came in, and I wasn't overly concerned with that because I hadn't seen any sort of evidence that the Yankees were sloppy on the bases, and they were a better defensive team, at least for the first up until June 13th. And that changed a lot, you know, certainly who I thought they were. But, you know, last night with Will Warren, you know, he was very good early in the year, a lot of strikeouts, and I believe he could be, and he was good last night, and I believe he could be really good down the road. I'm less concerned. Like, in my own mind, I'm almost like, I kind of expected Will to get knocked around a little bit, and he didn't. So that's why it's even more frustrating. Like, if Will Warren would have given up 5 runs and 4 2/3 and walked 3 guys, and the Yankees were losing 6-4 when he left the game, I could accept that because Will Warren's not going to get a start in the playoffs here. But the way that they lost, those guys who blew up from the bullpen will be pitching the postseason, and that's not a great thing right now.
Nicole mentioned it before, like, you should never have a fan allowed to umpire. Like, what are you supposed to do? If you grow up a fan of baseball, you can't be an umpire? But in this particular case, I do legitimately believe that dude, whatever his name is, I don't care.
Walsh.
He let his old school Red Sox fandom impact that game. Dude, nobody can convince me otherwise that he was not even subconsciously leaning against the Yankees as the game got tight and later on in the game, obviously.
It was so egregiously, substandard for an umpire at that level that there's really nothing else to think. It's not like some, you know, deep-rooted takedown. Oh, maybe he doesn't like the Yankees. I mean, to me, it's so apparent that he's awful at his job and that he blew an excessive amount of calls, which should be deemed unacceptable by Major League Baseball. He was looking to squawk with Boone. You know, he thinks he's Tony Tough Guy behind the plate. Just keep your mask down and shut up. Honestly, you've got to, like, it's really getting me angry the more I think about this, Sal, because an umpire, and I'm not saying that, and I said this earlier, but I do need to reassert this. I don't mean that if somebody's coming at you like a deranged lunatic, which, by the way, Boone was last night.
Yes,
he was pretty worked up, man.
He got there.
You don't just stand there and take it. Like, you're a human being. Like, when somebody's spitting in your face, like, you know, phlegm's flying and you're nose to nose, no, you can push back a little bit and you can get aggressive. You've got a license to do that. But the problem is, it's just like they're so sensitive. Your job as an ump or as an official is to diffuse. This is basic stuff. It's to diffuse, not elevate, and that clown last night was elevating.
Yeah, I know, I get it. I mean, obviously, we've had some issues here with the ump. Sorry, BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-101.
Well, but you were distracted with something. Anything interesting?
No. I'm just looking. I wanted to go over the Mets rotation real quick because we were kind of, not screwing it up before, but just trying to do the math on it.
Yeah.
So right now, I'm just going to throw out names, okay?
Go ahead.
Tong, Senga, Manaea, McClain, Holmes, Peterson, Sproat.
That's a lot of names, dude.
Yeah, well, that's seven.
Tom Senga, McClain. I know them all. Keep going. Okay. I'm writing them down as you're going.
So
I got you.
That's seven. I'm not even going to bring up Tyler or McGill or whatever. But when we talk about the problems to fix the Mets rotation, see, with the addition of Tong now, and if you bring Sproat into it, you can then, I'm crossing off Senga off my list, out of the rotation, let's hope down to the minors, right? So that then leaves you six starters, assuming you bring up Sproat, which means you can take Manaea, which is what I wanted to do, move him to the bullpen, and now that leaves you five starters. Tong, not in any particular order, Tong, McClain, Holmes, Peterson, and Sproat. So even with, like, the two worst guys in the rotation, Manaea and Senga, you can take them out if you bring Sproat up and have him take one of the spots, and then you go back to a five-man rotation. Like, what is this six-man rotation? You don't have enough good starters. You're going to go with six?
Yeah. Usually you stretch the boundaries when you have a surplus, a riches of something.
Yeah.
When you don't, you do the opposite. You try to condense it. They're making more room for more guys who aren't good.
Or if they thought that it would benefit Senga, specifically because we know him on the extra rest, and Manaea, it hasn't. Those have been the worst guys.
Yeah.
So what are we doing here? Why do the Mets feel the need to have a six-man rotation? Good God. And even if they do, then to me it would be Tyler McGill when he comes back just to have somebody different take a start. Well, what's the worst you can do,
like
BT?
Would he be worse than the other guys? I hear you. Everybody else
is going four or five innings anyway.
But McGill's not making $17 million a year with a commitment for the Mets like Manaea is. So I'm not saying that Cohen's sitting there counting pennies or nickels, but there's a little influence, I would imagine, based on the contractual commitment the Mets have to Manaea versus McGill, who's making peanuts. The only thing that I would say, let's be careful a little bit. Like, McClain, to me, there is no doubt he's the real deal.
Right. Tong and Sproat, we have no idea.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, what I do have, and I wish I didn't feel this way, because I just don't think he's healthy. I've got about as much confidence as I can have saying that Manaea is not fully healthy and that he's battling through this. And I'm not trying to start a story or be irresponsible. I just don't think that he's physically right. And because of the loose chips in his elbow, I can deduce and get to that point without sounding like I'm starting trouble here. I don't think he's right. So I am fine pushing him to this. I don't think he's going to stabilize this enough to justify getting the baseball every 5 days. So I'm fine with that part. But you got to see a little bit more from Tong than one start. And I know he is revered in that organization. And his attitude and his demeanor all look to be check, check, check. It's one start.
Understood. But let's say he has a bad start on Saturday.
I don't give up on him.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that.
He's going to get another start.
As he should.
So they could still evaluate him and think postseason big picture while also moving the other guys. Like, I think Manaea would benefit from getting to the pen now, potentially become a weapon for them. You know, we didn't even mention Helsley, which obviously was the story of yesterday again. Like, he's unpitchable. I've never seen anything like it, BT. I can't understand how a guy could be that dominant with a team for that long and come to the Mets and be that awful. There are position players who are more effective relievers than Ryan Helsley's been with the Mets. Now, I'm not saying I'm giving up hope on him because I still, just at my core, I have to believe he's got to be better than this. I have to. The guy throws 102. He throws 102. Throw the damn. I almost said GD. Throw the slider for a strike. Holy cow.
Dude, he's...
he's getting lit up like a Christmas tree.
He might be the worst pitcher I've ever seen for the Yankees or the Mets in terms of, like, what he has shown us as a New York pitcher. I don't know that I've ever seen anybody worse. And the crazy thing about it, he does have, you know, elite stuff on 102 slider wipeout, but it ain't working. So he's either tipping or he's just not hitting the spots, whatever. There's not even any suspense. It's not like, oh, is Helsley going to be? It's first walk, pitch, hit, rocket, bench. But I got to tell you, got to take a little issue with your boy Mendy yesterday with that. Now, if you want to get him right, and I understand that you're going to keep trying to do that because he was brought here for a reason, and he's got enough of a resume where you shouldn't abandon Helsley, although you're getting to the point you might have to. Why the hell you put him out there in a one-run game?
Yeah.
Put him out there with a 7-2, 7-4, 8-3, 5-0. That is a bad job by Mendoza to put him in that game at that spot.
I could not disagree more.
Why?
They have to.
Dude, his ERA's 10.
Yeah, it doesn't matter when he pitches. He's getting lit up. He's been in those blowout games. He can't have a clean inning. Also, they were down. So
I know. I understand. Okay, they're down a run. They're not down 7-1.
It doesn't matter.
Like, the guy's coming in with a gas can in a matchbook.
It doesn't matter.
It does.
You got to use him.
Why do you have to use
him?
It's
the same. He's on the roster. You've got to use the pitchers available. Their starting pitchers aren't giving him any length. It's the same thing with Boone and Devin Williams, like everybody complaining, how could Boone use him in this spot? Well, he's on the roster. He's already used 15 freaking guys. You got to be able to go to somebody in that spot. If it's not Helsley, who's it going to be? It's not going to be Diaz.
Honestly, my answer is, at this point, anybody.
But he's on the roster. Helsley. And if you're trying to get him right, then the argument should be not against Mendoza. It should be he should not be on the roster because he cannot be used. There is not a situation that's out there that Helsley can succeed
but
in
I
right
disagree.
Now.
Succeed. Okay, that last part is key. But there are situations where you can see if he might be trending in the right direction. Not when you try to take the series. And listen, it's not, again, it's not the LCS, so... but you try to take 2 out of 3 against the really good Detroit Tigers team.
No, they did take 2 out of 3.
No, I'm trying to sweep them.
You're trying to sweep them.
Like, you got a chance to mop them and really, you know, further stabilize things and, you know, get ready for the stretch run, which is going to be tough. I'm not saying that you don't, you know, tempt fate and say, all right, we traded for this guy. Maybe we can get him right before it's all said and done. But I don't want to see him. If I'm a Mets fan, I'm sitting there saying, and I was saying I'm not even a Mets fan. I'm saying, why is this guy coming in? You're down one run.
Right. I thought it was the perfect spot.
He stinks.
Yeah, okay. But he stunk with the Mets. He does not stink in his career. He's been great. He was a reliever of the year last year.
Devin Williams was the best closer in baseball last year until Alonso probably broke him. I don't trust Williams now. I don't care about last year.
Williams has had some success.
Last year, Rodgers was the quarterback of the Jets. I don't care about last year.
Understood, but let's not make it like Helsley's not a good reliever.
Well, for the Mets, he's been the worst in baseball.
I understand that. But you're making it like the guy has sucked his whole career, and they're throwing him out there. They traded for him. He was one of the best relievers, if not the best guy, second to Duran, on the market, period. End of story.
But that doesn't mean that Stearns got it right. Listen,
It doesn't. But it does mean that if they're trying to squeeze something out of him because they think getting him right can help them, that's a spot yesterday where I thought it was a perfect spot. You've already won the series. You're down in the game. It's a spot where it's a little bit of leverage. So you're losing, yes, but you need to keep the game close. Let's see what he can do against this team. And he couldn't get job done like that. He can't do it. I don't know what you want to do. There's not a spot that he can be pitched in right now, but I didn't think that yesterday was an issue at all.
I mean, listen, then Stearns got to say, all right, I made the wrong decision, and which you and I both lauded him for what he did and for what Cashman did. By the way, most of these relievers that both GMs brought in have not gotten the job done. Neither is Cedric Mullins. Ryan McMahon's not hitting, though he's obviously a good third baseman. Now, maybe we were a little bit quick to anoint these trade deadlines wins. But listen, here's where you and I will forever fundamentally disagree with Helsley. I'm not saying that you discard him and cut him or DFA him now. And I hear you. I know what you're saying. What I'm saying is I got a chance to sweep a good team in their house. And this is not the second, third, or fourth appearance. This is appearance number 9 or 10 where there is an overwhelming amount of evidence that this guy is broken. I'm not giving him the ball yesterday.